Current State on 90.5 WKAR. I'm Mark Bayshore. Today we bring you another of our occasional visits to historic sites in the city of Detroit. Our tour guide is Jack Dempsey, president of the Michigan Historical Commission, and Current State Scott Pohl is here with our latest look at historic Detroit. Where did Jack take you this time, Scott?
Well, Mark, we went to a marker noting the site where the 1st Michigan Colored Regiment honed their fighting skills during the Civil War. It's an important spot in Michigan history for the formation of a unit where black men, known at the time, of course, as colored, first were granted the right to fight for their freedom and for that of the slaves being held in the Confederate South.
Jack Dempsey, welcome back to Current State.
My pleasure.
We are again visiting a historic site in Detroit with you, and today we've chosen a marker which denotes this particular site, which used to be the home of what was called the 1st Michigan Colored Regiment. Tell me about the 1st Michigan Colored Regiment.
It was the regiment that allowed, encouraged African Americans to enlist during the Civil War to go fight on behalf of the Union, on behalf of liberty, equal opportunity, and this is the site where they trained when they were being organized in 1863.
What did it take for black men, African American men, to fight in that war before the Emancipation Proclamation?
They really were not permitted, by and large, to enlist. Some did, if they were able to basically pass as white, but only in 1863 were they allowed to put on a uniform. They were allowed to perform in various support capacities up until that point, but with the Emancipation Proclamation, the federal government called on the states to raise regiments, and actually there were a number of them, both state and federal, that went into service that fought on behalf of the U.S. flag.
What do we know about who led this regiment?
It was raised here in Detroit by Henry Barnes, who was a leading figure connected with the Detroit media, and he was principal in helping raise this. The enlistments really exceeded probably most expectations. 1,400, 1,500 men came forward from not just Detroit, but all over Michigan, especially across the southern tier of counties where most of the population was. In fact, the regiment went on a recruitment tour all the way from here to the west side of the state with their band to great acclaim, and had no difficulty filling their ranks.
Kind of doesn't surprise that black men of that era wanted to fight for the Union.
No, it's really kind of a disgrace to say that up until midpoint of the war, they weren't allowed to do that. But their enlistment helped turn the tide completely so that this nascent Confederate States of America did not succeed. We don't have two American nations on this continent, and we have one united moving forward, hopefully.
Modern-day Detroit is largely African American. What was Detroit like in those days? Was there a large African American population in Detroit at that time?
There really wasn't. I think Detroit and one or two other locations down here in southern, southeastern Michigan were the largest communities that had an African-American population, but really, by and large, it was not, the demographics were not that those groups, those kinds of ethnic groups were represented. It was much later when you had the influx of many people coming up from the South during, especially the mid, during World War II, when the factory, the Arsenal of Democracy movement got going. And so that's really when a lot more African Americans moved into Detroit.
We're with Jack Dempsey, the president of the Michigan Historical Commission, to learn more about the 1st Michigan Colored Regiment. We're at a site with a historical marker in the city of Detroit. Can you tell me about where the 1st Michigan Colored fought during the war?
Yes, when they were actually sworn into service, they became the 102nd United States Colored Troops, so they received that designation. And they were sent to the Deep South. They didn't fight in the major battles like Gettysburg or Vicksburg or the Overland Campaign or Atlanta. This regiment didn't. But they went down to South Carolina and Florida, the Deep South, helped prosecute the war there. And I think the amazing thing when you consider that is here they were, men of color in a blue uniform in the Deep South, on expeditions, fighting for their country, exposing themselves to capture. And at that point, we're not really treated like prisoners of war. There are some terrible stories of what happened to men of color in the Union uniform that were captured and sometimes executed or massacred.
Were they sold into slavery?
Well, that's an interesting story. I think during parts of the war, when blacks were taken captive during some expedition on the part of the Confederate infantry or cavalry, they were impressed back into slavery. Even if they had been free, even if they were born free or had been freed. These men, their bravery really needs to be commemorated because they put their lives on the line for the uniform of the United States of America in a place that was extremely inhospitable, where slavery was really strong, really part of the fabric of that society.
Do we know much about casualties they may have suffered?
We do. Most of the casualties that they suffered were because of disease, but they did have battle casualties. They were in action in a number of instances, and so just like any individual in our society today that puts on a uniform to fight for freedom, to fight for our country, they risk life and limb, and these men did so heroically.
This regiment was disbanded in October of 1865. What led up to that?
The war ended in basically April, May of 1865, and so there wasn't a need for the massive numbers of troops at that point. The process of moving them from being in service back into civilian life took some time. October 65 is not really that dramatically different. Some didn't get moved out of service until 1866, and so that's another part of their service. They actually were in uniform longer than a number of other units.
You were telling me that there's been discussion regarding noting the history of the 1st Michigan Colored Regiment on a local highway here in the Detroit area, something that's kind of in flux. Fill me in on that.
The legislature late last year passed a bill, and the governor signed it, to designate Interstate 375 nearby as the 102nd USCT Historic Highway, Historic Road. And so
CT standing for Colored Troops at the time.
Correct. So that designation was awarded. I-375 is being considered, though, for possibly being converted from a below-ground freeway to a surface street or some other designation, some kind of redesign, so that it might become more of the fabric of downtown Detroit. But that designation is very interesting and very appropriate, because this is the side of Detroit where there were very significant African-American communities, Paradise Valley, Black Bottom, which unfortunately were disrupted by construction of highways like I-375.
Well, to help people find this marker, what you would need to do is find the Ralph Bunch pre-K to 8th grade academy in the city of Detroit. The marker is adjacent to the building.
Near Lafayette, near historic Elmwood Cemetery, and Robert Brad B. Drive.
Always good to see you. Jack Dempsey is president of the Michigan Historical Commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.
For Current State, I'm Scott Pohl.